All right. If you can open your Bible up to 1 Peter chapter 5. We'll start looking down in verse number 6. All right. Amen. We had a great day on the buses today. It was amazing. Exceedingly and abundantly above all that I thought, for sure. Amen. Let's go ahead and we'll begin reading. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you, Lord, for all that you did today, Lord. My heart is just a buzz over all those kids getting off the bus today. And Lord, I just want to thank you. But Lord, can't live on things that victories of the past. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you would speak to our hearts tonight. Lord, I need you. Pray, Lord, that you just put me on like an old work glove and that you just do whatever you want to do, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you keep me on track and you know how I'm prone to wander. And I just ask, Lord, that you would speak to hearts tonight. And I pray also that you would just run the enemy out of the room. And I ask this in your precious name. Amen. Amen. Well, I'm excited. I was looking at the gathering down the street there. A lot of people celebrating Halloween. Oh, we're not supposed to say that. I want to celebrate Hallow Be Thy Name instead. Amen. Hallow Be Thy Name. Now, it's, you know, we're having it's the Harvest Festival, right? You know? But I just got one question about that, you know, that I'd like to ask, and that's this, you know, who's harvesting who these days? Who's harvest? It's the Harvest Festival. Who's harvesting who these days? Amen. You know, I know who I'm talking to. I'm talking to the soldiers of Hopewell Baptist Church, the workers, the Sunday night crowd. You know, fellow warriors. Amen. You know, we've been here. We've worked side by side, and I know who I'm talking to tonight. And I want to say some things that I need to hear. I want to say some things that I believe that the Lord kept bringing me back to this truth over and over and over. And I actually had something else I was going to speak on, and I checked myself out real good to make sure that, you know, I couldn't see the back real good, but I'm just going to do my best tonight. Amen. There is a war that is being waged, you know, for man's soul. You know, our soul's made up of our mind, our will, and our emotions. Our mind is what we think. Our will is what we do with what we think. And then our emotions are how we feel about what we did and what we thought. And Jesus died on the cross to save our soul. Amen. But Jesus rose from the dead so that we could have the option to surrender our soul. Okay? And, you know, three big words, justification, which simply means, you know, the purchase of our soul. The day we trusted Christ as our Savior, we were justified. Then sanctification, that's the process that we're all going through right now. That's the surrendering of our soul, the surrendering of our mind, our will, and our emotions to the Lord. And then comes glorification. That's when our soul is separated from this sinful body and it finally makes God look good. You know? Now, just because Jesus saved our soul doesn't mean he automatically takes control of our soul. I have one spot I need to confess. I missed the trunk or treat last year. I'm afraid my wife and I, we went to the Ford dealership instead. We cut out and we ended up buying a car that night on Halloween night or on October 31st. And, you know, the bank helped us buy that car. But, you know, when we got the paperwork, there were two parties that were on the name. Our name was on it and the bank's name was on it. So the bank owns the car, but we get to drive the car. And all the bank requires is that we would surrender what we owe them with interest at a pace that would not overwhelm us. You know, now if we stop making our payments, at first what would happen is we'd get a couple of letters. Now, I don't mean to bring up bad memories for anybody, but the next thing that would happen is we'd start getting a couple of personal phone calls, you know, and then the next thing that would happen is we may be hit with a few extra consequences, you know. To be honest, what would be happening to us is a little paranoia would set in. We would begin to, we might start hiding the car in the garage or parking the other car in front of it at night. Things like that, you know. But, you know, sooner or later what's going to happen is we're going to walk out of the grocery store or we're going to get done with work and go walk out to the car and it's going to be gone because it's going to fall prey to the repo man, you know, and his little black tow truck. You know, he has all the right in the world to come for what's his. Okay? Jesus purchased my soul on Calvary. Okay? He has given me eternal life, freedom from the penalty of sin. And all he asks is this. He asks that I would surrender to him what belongs to him.
Amen.
Okay? And that's my soul. That's my mind. My will, my emotions, you know, with interest, you know, throw a little praise in while you do it.
Yeah,
throw a little gratitude in while you do it. So let's get some witness in there, you know, a little interest, a little service. And he does not force me to surrender it, okay? But he asks me to cooperate with him at a pace with grace that would not overwhelm me. I love how patient God is about, you know, allowing us to grow. You know, he was patient with me, and I'm still growing, you know, not just growing, I'm growing, you know, and he is still so patient with us. Now, raise your hand if you've trusted Christ as your Savior.
Amen.
Okay, do you know whose name's on the title? Yours and his. But you get to drive the car. You know, he owns a soul, our soul and our body. We get to drive the car. You know, we get to run this body around. But all that he's asking from any of us is this, that we would surrender,
amen.
You know, and yield to him just what belongs to him.
Amen.
Okay?
Amen.
That's our mind, our will, our emotions. You know, fear and condemnation set in when we get behind on our payments. Okay? Doubts and discouragement soon follow. You know, confusion and hopelessness, a little peer. You know, depression and oppression, you know, will become the norm. What is this? This is the corruption that is in the world today slowly taking over your soul. You know, we either surrender to Jesus what's rightfully his, or we're allowing the devil to claim it for his.
Amen. Amen.
You know, Proverbs chapter 1, 22 says this, "How long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity, and ye scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge? Turn yet my reproof, and behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I'll make known my words unto you, but because I have called, and you've refused, and I've stretched out my hand, and no man regarded, but ye have said it not, all my counsel, would none of my reproof." You ditched my phone calls, you ignored my letters, and, you know, "I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh, and when fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind. When distress and anguish come upon you, then shall you call upon me, but I'll not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me, for they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel, they despised my reproof. Therefore they shall eat the fruit of their own way, and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. But whoso hearkeneth unto me Well, that's just the person who's surrendering the mind, the will, and the emotions, surrendering soul at a pace that, you know, at his pace with grace. You know, whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from the fear of evil. So who's been driving your car these days? You know, what's been on your mind lately these days? And I'll be honest with you. You know, what's too much is on my mind is what's going on in this world. Right. You know, this world's gone nuts. You know, what's on your mind these days? Is it worldly politics? Is it national corruption? You know, illegal immigration, soaring inflation, it all rhymes, rampant crime, fossil fuel terrorism, you know, electric cars, you know. The craziness that's going on in the schools with our kids, candy package fentanyl flooding the streets, trick or treat. Be careful this year.
Amen.
80,000 new armed IRS agents? Mm. How about China? You know, little rocket man, or the new improved two times as deadly COVID virus that we just invented or discovered or created. Why? What are they thinking? Who even wants it?
Amen.
Yep. Climate change. That, well, you know, climate change is the only thing that really is real.
Yeah, really.
You know, it's happened before. It's going to happen again, but not like you think, not like they think. Climate change took place in Genesis 6, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that the imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And that brought about climate change, like what they're fearful of, what they're expecting. Okay? It comes from losing, not surrendering.
Amen.
That's what brought it on last time. You know? What has you outraged and offended to the point that it's gaining control of your soul? You know? Jesus said in one of the end time signs is that, and then shall many be offended. You know, our soul is designed to yield to one of two influences. Outside pressure coming from the outside in, or inside persuasion.
Amen.
The Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Speaking out. Okay? Only a lost soul can truly be possessed by the devil. And I'm not saying that every lost person is possessed. But when Jesus moves in, the devil moves out.
That's right,
okay? But the devil will never give up trying to control that soul. Just because he got his 3-day notice and he's kicked to the curb because Jesus now, because you've accepted Christ and he's moved in, doesn't mean he's going to give up on trying to control that thing, because it's just that he can't access it from the inside out anymore, so now he will try to access it from the outside in.
Amen.
The devil has a system of management. It's outside pressure, and it's being turned up, whether you realize it or not, you know, all the time. And it's really, there's a lot of outside pressure in this world.
Yeah.
And
Amen.
Without Christ, people they're crumbling, they're melting, their lives are falling apart. You know, the outside pressure is everywhere you go. It's constant. It's on your phone. Comes through the media. It comes from Facebook. It comes from, it's playing in the background of restaurants and stores and on billboards. And it's a data overload, and it's outside pressure. It's walking down the street. It's all an attempt to capture your soul.
Amen.
Your mind, your will, and your emotions. You know, right now, the weight of the atmosphere is 14 pounds per square inch on you at all times. You don't feel it, but that don't mean it ain't there. That outside pressure, that spiritual outside pressure getting cranked up is getting cranked up on us.
Right,
you know, there is a war going on, and the devil is cranking up that outside pressure more and more and more. Why? To gain control of your soul so that it through outside pressure. But God also has a system of management. It's inside persuasion. We have the Holy Spirit. Once we accept Christ as our Savior, we have the Holy Spirit living within us, you know, and He wants to live through us, and He wants to produce power for us so that we can overcome the outside pressure of the enemy. And so that it is, and the corruption that is in this world, and so that we can do great things for Him. Amen. You know, the Holy Spirit, He reminds me of premeditated truths. Amen. Do you have any premeditated truths to be reminded of? We ought to be gathering them like gold. You know, He corrects us when we're wrong. He feeds us when we're hungry. You know, He teaches us along the way. He leads us when we're lost. He rests us when we're weary. He fills us when we're empty, and He comforts us when we're hurting. He's the rightful owner of my soul.
Amen.
And the reason why, you know, church is so wonderful is because it's a positive outside pressure. Okay? The reason why the Bible is so wonderful, because it's God's word, but it's a positive outside pressure on my soul. The reason why conferences are great, we just had the men's conference, and that stirred my heart. That changed me. That helped me kick it into a different gear, and thank God that I had a couple of days to overeat after I confessed all that, but I had some positive outside pressure on me for a little bit, and it stirred my heart. You know, thank God for godly music, because it's a positive outside pressure, you know, positive outside pressure plus positive spiritual inside persuasion recharges your soul. It refreshes you.
Amen. Amen.
Whoever controls your soul controls you. So whether it's outside pressure or inside persuasion, our mind affects our will affects our emotions, and our emotions will affect our body. Thank God for Jesus in our boat.
Amen.
You know, because we can smile at the storm. Worldly outside pressure is mentioned in Ephesians. It says this, the road to it anyway, is it says, this I say therefore, it's in Ephesians 4, this I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity, the emptiness of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have been given over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. You get the idea. And the Holy Spirit inside persuasion says, but ye have not so learned Christ. You know, if so be that you have heard Him and you have been taught by Him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man which is corrupt according to deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you put on the new man which after godliness is created in righteousness and true holiness. Philippians 2:5 says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. What Paul knew, he says, look, every day, you know, I'm going to give my mind to somebody. Somebody's going to get it, okay? If I do not, that your mind is where you start to surrender your soul. It's mind, will, and emotions. You don't want to live emotions, will, mind. You know, you don't want to live by feelings, you know. You want to live mind, will, and emotions. Paul knew that if he didn't surrender his mind on a daily basis to the Lord, you know, that something was going to control it. It was going to fall prey to one of three sources. Either the world is going to control it, or my flesh will control it, or the devil will control it.
Right,
if we do not surrender our soul to Christ, the devil will control it,
right,
saved
amen.
Or lost. You know, if we do surrender our soul to Christ, the devil will attack it. Because whoever controls the soul controls you, and you're nothing more than his PlayStation. Once he gets your mind, gets control of that soul, you're the video game for him. And he slams you into whoever he wants, and he has, that's what he does.
Amen.
You know? Our world is under attack. The title of my message is this: we must not be slack during an attack.
Amen.
Okay? You know what? COVID did me no favors. You know what? You know, I honestly feel like, you know, all these years I've run hard for the Lord, and then COVID hit. Somebody told me, well, I guess you can't run the bus. I guess you can't, you know, go into the, I guess you can't do that now. Oh, you can't talk to, you can't door knock, can't do this, can't do that. And it, you know what it did? It just made me lazy. You know, and when that got lazy, then other things, you know, my mind tend to get a little lazy. Got on things that weren't, well, you know, that it should, you know. And, you know, 1 Timothy 4:1 says this, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils." We see that all over the place. People are falling away. They're giving heed to things that aren't true, and they're being lured away, and they're, you know, but 2 Peter 1:4 says, "Whereby are given unto us exceeding precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust." Thank God for the Word of God. You know, 2 Timothy says this, "Now therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, but that he may please who hath chosen him to be a soldier." You know, I believe we all want to be good soldiers for Christ.
Amen.
Okay? And you are a soldier for Christ. You may be sitting here saying, "Well, you know, I don't do much in the church. I just come, listen, blah, blah, blah." You're a soldier whether you like it or not. You better pick up a gun or you're going to be a casualty.
You know,
it's like, time out. Wait a minute, I'm not really in this war. That's not a reality. We're all in the war. You know, it's just that, you know, some have picked up a gun, some have not. You know, God has given us spiritual weapons. We need to pick them up. We need to use them. We need to start charging hell with a squirt gun, you know, with like God wants us to. He left us here to win the world. The only reason why it's not is because we're real slow on the surrender of our soul. So we limit the work that he's able to do through us. You know, you know, we all want, nobody says, "I want to be a casualty of war." Who wants to be a casualty? You know, who wants to be captured by the enemy? Yeah, I just want to do my time until I'm out of here. I'm just waiting for that trumpet. I'm just going to do my time. You know, nobody wants their life overtaken and destroyed. You know, but when I look around, I see so many POWs.
Amen, amen.
Prisoners of war. You know, both saved and lost alike. You know, 2 Corinthians 2:11 says this, "Lest Satan should gain an advantage of us, for we're not ignorant of his devices." But when I look around this world, I do not see a lot of people who are not ignorant of his devices. I see a lot of people who are ignorant of his devices. And I'll throw myself up, my hand up in that group at times. You know, when I look around, I do not see a lot of people who are, you know, not being taken advantage of by Satan. I see a lot of people who are being taken advantage by Satan. You know, this makes me ask the question, you know, are we really not ignorant of his devices? Maybe we are. Oh, I know we got a Bible, but, you know, would we recognize one of his devices if we saw it? Would we do anything about it if we did recognize it? You know, it's going to be a lot of work to change that. You know, I'll just keep the coat on so they don't see my spots. I like that. That stuck with me. Thanks for that analogy. I'll just keep the coat on so, you know. Tonight I'd like to apply for a heavenly FISA warrant to spy on the devil's campaign to take over the world. I've shared this before, but honestly, he kept bringing me back to it. You know, I think I've shared this maybe 4 years ago. There's no point in wiretapping hell because all you're going to hear there are screams of the people that he's taken advantage of because the devil's not there.
That's right, amen.
As we read in our passage, he is roaming to and from the earth, seeking whom he may devour. And that verse, it says, you know, humble yourself. Humble yourself. You know, when we don't walk humbly, okay, it's like, you know how blood in the water attracts a shark? Mm-hmm. Oh, you attract Satan.
That's good, amen.
No, and then that verse in the middle, it ties it all together. Casting all your care upon him. Do you know how you know you're not walking humbly? You don't throw none of your cares on him. Amen. You got it. I got it. It's under the coat. I got it. I'm doing it. I don't need God. You can't, you know. But the devil, he's roaming about seeking whom he may devour. You know, he's roaming to and fro the earth. You know. If we're going to get the goods on him, we need to listen in on one of his staff training meetings. You know, picture the scene, much like this. A room full of demons, not saying you're demons, but it's a picture a room full of demons, okay? And the room is packed with demons, and they're all murmuring, and they're all complaining. Dang, those Christians. You know, we can't get those Christians to stop reading their Bibles. They carry them everywhere. You know, we can't get those Christians to stop going to church. You know, we can't get them we can't keep them from knowing the truth. We can't stop them from running the buses. You know, what are we going to do? Then their leader, the Prince of Darkness, steps out of the shadows and says, "My fellow warriors, I have a master plan to become the master of man." It's true, we can't stop them from having a close personal relationship with Jesus if they want it.
That's so true, amen.
Once they're saved, they're going to gain that connection with Jesus, and they'll have peace and power with God. And that peace and power with God will affect those that are around them. It always does.
Amen.
You know? And at that stage of the game, we have lost. We're sure to lose. And any hope, you know, that we had that we had over them, or any control that we had over them, is going to be broken. So we need to create a diversion on a worldwide scale, custom tailored to every country, nationality. We need to create a diversion that it's got to be something that's going to appear intimate. But it will not produce peace or power. It will not look like war, but it'll look like peace, but it'll feel like turmoil. And here's what I want to call it. Here's what it is. Apathy.
Mm. Amen.
You know what I got? I didn't go for a flu shot. And I, you know, some people did, some people didn't. But you know what? I think the devil, gave me a couple of apathy shots during that time. You know, we'll go after their personal righteousness, and all we have to do is to convince them that they don't need God to live the Christian life.
That's good.
You don't need God to live the Christian life. You can be a good Christian without God. Okay? So listen carefully. Here's my plan for self-righteous man. We will allow them to think that peace and power comes through ritual of service. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. You're a good Christian. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. You're a good Christian. We'll let them go to their churches, and we'll let them have their potlucks and their Baptist buffets and their taco Sundays. By the way, that was a hit and a blessing. And we'll let them run their buses and have their campaigns and let them sing in the choir and have their kids' clubs. And we'll let them go to church 3 times a week. We'll let them run their adult classes and let them have their church wild work days and their ladies conference planning meetings. And they can do their Wednesday night discipleship programs, but we will steal their personal quiet time.
That is good. That is good. Come on.
outside pressure being turned up. This is all I want my warriors to do. I want you to distract them so that they're unable to maintain a connection with Jesus on a daily basis. Turn up the outside pressure in your life. Turn up the outside pressure in your life. This will keep them from gaining valuable communication and direction from him during the day. I got news for you. You know I got saved 30 years ago, but my soul has been lost since at different times. Here, I lose it every time I break connection, and I don't know what to do. And the devil wants our souls lost, you know. He says, and that happens when he starts to steal your quiet time. Thank God, pastors up there. I was picturing that when you said that, and I was thinking, good for him. You know, in between the shivers, he's going to have a lot of time to think, because I bet he's cold. It's Alaska. I'm glad. I bet you the mountains are just, you know, when you go to those places, like the desert and the mountains, and it's just so quiet. It's awesome, especially if you've got the Word of God with you and in you. You know, he says, we'll steal their personal time. You know, I want to distract them so they don't make a connection. This will keep them from knowing what to do and communicating with Jesus during the day. Keep them busy with unimportant things. You know, give them things that they can do in their own power so that they have no need of that cross and his resurrection power, because you could just do it yourself. You know, lead them into schemes that's going to occupy their mind and their time. Convince them to spend beyond their means and stand by and wait for them to borrow. And give it to them when they want. Give them what they want, even though they can't afford it. And this will turn their false peace into worry, and their worry is where I want them. And he's watching who's going to cast their care upon the Lord. Invoke foolish policies to create inflation and drive up the cost of living. Make it so that it takes two incomes to survive. Use greed and jealousy to make them want more and more. Stretch the daylight out longer so that they can be gone longer from their families. Make them work more, 6 and 7 days a week. 10 and 12 hours a day, so that they can afford their empty lifestyles that can only give them a temporal peace. They'll become addicted to this cycle. Well, you might as well say, welcome to California.
Yeah.
And there'll be no way out. We will overwork the women so that they become exhausted at the end of the day, and it'll be easy to overpower these weaker vessels. And when they do, their husbands will be neglected, and we will turn up the temptation on man and use the warm weather so that his mind will be tempted to look elsewhere and eventually set apart what God has joined together.
Ooh, amen.
If we are successful, we can keep them from spending time with their children. And this will cause their families to fall apart. So their fragmented homes will no longer offer an escape from the pressures of work, of their work and their day. They will seek peace from those they love, but only find turmoil. And this will lead to confusion and difficulty in reasoning. And they will be unable to think properly. Then we will take over and become their guide. As the prince in the power of the airwaves, I will overstimulate their minds so that they cannot hear his voice. I will prepare entertainment that that will keep their minds out in fantasy land. I will train a cyber army by computers so murder will fill their brains. I will entice them to play with their phones constantly, filling their minds with the knowledge of good and evil. Their phones will tell them where they are. Their phones will tell them where they're going. Their phones will tell me who they are, and the phones will tell me who they're following. When they become addicted to my device, I've placed in their hand and their forehead, I will bombard them with notifications and texts and telemarketers and unwanted calls, and I will speed up their life and double their problems. I will cheapen their communication. Okay. I will cheapen their communication. with each other. I will have 24 access to them because they'll never shut it off. Day by day, I'll become their social guide, and I will begin to tell them what's right and what's wrong. And I will begin to tell them who's right and who's wrong. They'll reach for their phones like a cigarette, and at the first sign of boredom or trouble. If they have a 32 gig mind, give them a 64 gig phone and give it to them when they're 12. Overload them. Call it a family plan. We'll make it cheaper. We'll have to call them smartphones because they don't know how stupid they are. And through this, we will jam their minds and take over their meditations. And destroy any hope of meaningful, sustained connection with Jesus. Let's fill the world with distress and unrest. Rumors of wars. Pound their minds with news 24 hours a day. Fill the streets with the homeless. Invade their driving moments with billboards. Flood their mailboxes with junk. Bombard them with drug commercials, but only advertise the side effects. Put a Starbucks on every corner. Ooh, that one hurt. I'll be hitting the altar later. Hey, sell Monster energy drinks at every gas station and unleash the beast on them. Put the Hebrew number 6 3 times on the can. They'll think it's cool to be a fool, and this will overstimulate their mind. So that their bodies can't keep up.
It's true.
It's like I've built 4 projects in my head and I haven't left my couch yet. You know, which will always make them feel like they're behind. Mm-hmm. Like they can't get enough done. They'll become addicted to going nowhere fast. Depression will set in, and they will search for relief. I'll push my drugs aren't just for thugs agenda. Legalize everything. Tie the hands of law enforcement. Let my sorceries run wild and overpower them so that they will not repent. Put fentanyl in everything. They'll start dropping like flies. I'll say it again. Be careful. I've lost 3 people in the last month. Let's add in some joyful but stressful times that need to be observed. We'll give them a Santa Claus and an Easter Bunny, but we'll keep them so busy that they miss the reason for the season.
That's right.
In their recreation, let us weary them with selfish indulgence. Entice them with amusement parks and sporting events and wine tasting and concerts and Netflix and HBO. And doing so, we will keep them too busy to go out into nature and reflect on God's creation. Amen to our pastor.
Amen.
They will return from their recreation exhausted, though I have a feeling he will return exhausted. We must overcrowd them with churchy. Now for their spiritual fellowship, you know, we know they've got to have it. So, or if they don't have it, they'll seek Christ for it. So let them go to church and we will seal the deal. We'll involve them in gossip and small talk.
Ooh, yes. Come on. Amen.
And we'll form little cliques.
Come on. Amen.
You know, we'll involve them in petty little feuds.
Come on. Amen.
Start little territorial disputes.
Come on. Amen to them. Amen.
Make them think that the church is... that they own the church instead of Jesus.
Whoa.
So that when they leave church, they have a troubled conscience.
Mm.
Amen?
Amen.
Yeah. Well, I'm not letting it show, but...
Come on, amen.
Just going back to your message. We must overcrowd them with their churchy duties. Good causes so that they don't involve... things that don't involve spreading the gospel. We need to be spreading the gospel.
Amen.
We need to be getting the word out now more than ever. God could have had you live at any time in this, in the timeline of history, but he chose these times because I believe in his heart. He knows what, if this group of people would just surrender a little more of the soul, he knows he would be able to do his work, and he knows what could be done. But instead, he wants to involve us in these, in our churchy duties that don't involve spreading the gospel, you know, that need to be done, but take away from the main thing, you know, so that we have no time to seek power from Jesus. Soon they will work in their own strength, sacrificing their health and family for the good of the cause. And all the demons shouted, "That's it. This will work. This is the master plan to become the master of man." And as they headed out to wage war, one of the demons stopped and asked and said, "So what does busy mean?" And the devil replied, "It means being under Satan's yoke. And under my yoke, there will be no hope." Now, I said all that as a, you know, just a introduction to the message. We are not without hope.
Amen.
Okay? Because if we read 1 Peter 5:8 in my Bible, if you just look at the next page, 1 Peter 1, or 2 Peter 1, verse 4, it says this. It says, "Whereby are we given exceeding great and precious promises." Now, who's talking here? I'll tell you who's talking. Mr. Cock-a-doodle-doo. I think he knows a thing or two about falling. And he's writing this. And the Lord said, you know, when you come out of this, Peter, strengthen your brethren. Well, you know what? He's my brethren. He's my bro. And I believe he put that in there. It's there for me. It's there to help me. How do I fight against all this outside pressure that's cranked up in the world? You know, how are you going to fight against it and win? You know, he gives us a exceeding great and precious promise, one of thousands. But let's just look at this one. Because if you take this one and begin to apply it to others.
Amen.
Oh, let's just read it. He says, "Been given great and exceeding precious promise, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in this world through lust." You know, I know this. I have no divine nature. His divine nature is, it's love and joy and peace and long-suffering and gentleness. My nature is quite the opposite. It's self-centered a little bit, and it's frustrated, and it's worried, and it's quick-tempered and harsh at times. That's my nature. You know, that's me being good without God, with my spots on the inside. Okay, that's how my nature is. But he says, look, you can be part, through my promises, you can be partakers of my divine nature, which is love and joy and peace and long suffering and gentleness and goodness. And it's not my power, it's God powered, you know? And he says, look, you can be partakers of this, having escaped the corruption that is in this world. The devil's sitting here cranking up the outside pressure on you, but you are escaping it. Why? Through those promises that he's given. Let's read on. You know, he says, "Beside this, give all diligence." What's diligence? Diligence means keep doing it. Don't just say, "Oh, I heard a message. I'm going to do it once, and then I forgot it by Monday." Has anybody seen my Bible? You know, anyway, it means diligence. That means this is something we need to be diligent about. That means, you know, we got to keep doing it, and we got to keep doing it, and we got to keep doing it, we got to keep doing it. Keep work at this thing. Be diligent, diligent. It says, besides all this, give all diligence, add to your faith, faith. Faith in what? Well, faith in the promises. The Word of God. You got any faith in this book? Amen. This book heals. Amen. By God's Word, He created the... He spoke and the world was in existence. Man, this book heals. It's got promises for everything. It's got promises, great promises. So you can escape the corruption that's out in this world. It's there. It's there for you. You know? Do you have faith in the promises? Do you have faith in the one who made the promises? You know, that's all you need to have. If you're here today and you say, you know what, I believe that Bible. I don't know it all, but I believe God can do some things. I've seen what He did to so-and-so. I've seen what He did to so-and-so. You know, Zacchaeus, he climbed up on that tree because he kept running into people that ran into Jesus. And he's going like, what happened to you? What happened to you? And finally, Jesus was coming through town. He says, man, I'm going to find out. I'm going to get to him. I got to get a look at this guy. Why? You know, hey, what He's done for others, He'll do for you. Amen. Promises, promises, promises. You know, it says giving all diligence, add to your faith. I have faith in the promise. Says, I have faith in the one who made me the promise. And He says, add to your faith virtue. Amen. Virtue. A desire. Do you have a desire to do right? Man, I'm not going to sit here and say, well, I'm virtuous. No, it's not saying virtue. It's saying virtue, man. Do you got a desire to do right? Amen. Amen. Man, I got promises. I got faith in the promises. I got faith in the promise. And I have a desire to do right. Amen. To add virtue. Amen. Into my life. And these are blocks. Faith. Stack virtue on it. You know, a desire to do right. And then it says, add your virtue knowledge. Because guess what? I don't know what's right.
That's good.
So where am I going to get any knowledge? Where am I going to know what's right or wrong? Oh, I know. I'll just do what everybody else is. I'll just listen to the outside pressure. You tell me. You tell me what's right. You tell me what's wrong. You tell me what's going on. We've been given great and exceeding precious promises. You know, so add to your faith virtue. Add to your virtue knowledge. And the only place you're going to get knowledge is you're going to get knowledge out of this book.
Amen.
Spending time with the written word and the living word. And here it is. Today night we're kind of dissecting and finding this little thing, but there's tons of promises catered and customized for what you're going through.
Amen.
And this ought to be our goal is to stack these things. So I need to find knowledge. You know, it's like I was reading this and I'll be darned. You know, I need to start doing that. Okay, well now, man, I got faith in the promise, the one who made it. I got faith in the promises. Now I got a desire, and now I was reading and I found something.
Yep.
I was reading and I heard something. You know, add to your virtue knowledge, then add to your knowledge temperance. Temperance just means yield. Well, I always do it this way. This is foreign for me. You know, well, there's the promises, the diligence. Now I know. Well, I'm going to turn you at my reproof, and I will pour out my spirit upon you. Temperance just means yield. Yield. So now I've got faith, and I've got virtue, and I've got me a gold nugget of knowledge, and then it says, and add to temperance patience, because you know how we are. Look, I obeyed. Where's the promise? Supposed to look. You know, you said that God could get me clean, and I came to church, and I'm not clean. you're going to have some endurance.
Amen.
You know what I mean? Because here, you're going to yield and then you're going to unyield. Oh, wait a minute, let's stack it again. Yield and then yield and build up some endurance. All you're doing is having patience, is you're just giving God time to work on you. Oh, he could do it in a heartbeat, but that ain't good for you. He knows what he's doing. He's giving it time. Giving him time to work. Add temperance to patience, patience to godliness. Ta-da, guess what? I'm amazed. It worked. You know, I believed, I added virtue, I learned something, I yielded to it, and I endured for a while, and then all of a sudden, wow, I'm partaking of his divine nature. And it's zippity-doo-dah. The day is great. I'm having a great day. I'm full of the Spirit. It's awesome. I love it. God is good. And everyone's, and I'm reflecting God, and I don't even know it. I got joy in my heart, good times. Amen.
Right, amen.
You escape the corruption of this world, and they're partaker of his divine nature. But what's the next one? Add to godliness, brotherly kindness. Do you know why? Because when you added godliness,
yes,
and we know that all they that live godly shall suffer persecution. So here comes one of them demons like a bat out of hell, whew, heading for you. He may have skin on, he may be a circumstance, but he's coming to knock your blocks down. Haven't you gone through a day where like everything's cool, you know, and then all of a sudden somebody like hits you like a freight train. Boom. You know, it's like I was in the Spirit having a great day and all of a sudden, what happened? You know, boom. He says, now, be kind. Be kind. Don't let them take your blocks. You're on the road, buddy. You're on the road. Don't let them be kind. You know, don't, you know, brotherly kindness. Add to brotherly kindness, charity, love. Love them. But you don't know what they did. Love them because they need love. And, buddy, you didn't let them knock your box off and you are now partaker of his divine nature, and you have the love of our Heavenly Father ready to flow through you and be a light to them. They need the love. This world needs the love. You know, can I tell you that we had a great crowd on the bus, but, you know, not all the kids were, like, really kind and polite, and they didn't all sit with their hands folded. You know, it was, you know what it's like. And if you don't, you should check it out sometimes because it's great. Hey, you know what? It's like, you know, and I watched the workers, and you know what they were? They were kind to those kids. They're, you know, he's like jumping up on the seat, you know, with his arm around Christian's neck, you know, trying to wrestle him, you know. And you know, doesn't that go on your bus, Rusty? Look, sit down, sit down. We got one little girl named Arla. Bless her heart. Bless her heart. I don't think she's ever sat in a seat. If she sat in all of them, if she sat in one of them, that's all I'm saying. Bless her heart, you know. But I saw the bus workers, I saw them loving. No matter what, how they were treated, no matter how it was going, they were loving those kids, loving them. You know? You know, calling them by name, loving them, you know. Let's go on. I'm going to come to an end. It goes on to say this. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you so that ye shall never be barren, nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? So, if I make this a discipline to stack these bricks, you know what? It's a brand new week. You know, I had church was great, but Monday morning, I'm going to crack my Bible and ask God for a promise. And then when I find it, I'm not just going to read over it like I read over everything, and I just keep reading, 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 and I don't remember anything. I'm going to study it. Get it to a place where you've dug in it and you've meditated on it, and it's boiling in your heart, and you can share it with somebody. It's going to benefit you, but it'll be there to benefit somebody else down the road. What do you think Jonathan did with the prodigal son this morning? This very thing. You know, but it says if we'll do that, because this world's corrupt, the outside pressure's big. You're going to either surrender this thing, you're going to surrender it to somebody. You can play games with yourself and wear the coat, okay? But you're not going to have the fruit. But he that lacketh these things is blind. You're not going to see what God's wanting you to see in this world. And you'll have memory problems. Cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Here's what's going to happen. You're going to go back. And you're going to fall prey to the outside pressure again. And you're going to go back to that old nature that you have. And you're going to forget. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence. Your mama can't do it for you. Your daddy can't do it for you. Okay? Preacher can't do it for you. It's your mind. It's your soul. Wherefore, rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, ye shall never fall. You know, I don't know about you, but I got a little apathetic. I'll be real with you. A little apathetic. You know, and I need to work on some of this myself. I just figured that I know what I'm up against. I just figured that maybe some of you might be up against the same thing. So, one soldier to another soldier. Don't be slack during an attack. Okay? I saw two wonderful signs. I can't believe I'm saying this. Out on the bus route in the last week or so. The Mormons are back. And the JWs are back. That must mean the fish are biting. We need to get back.
Yes, amen.
Okay? They can't, hell can't stop us.
Amen.
The gates of hell shall not prevail against us. But what it's going to take is it's going to take fired up people.
Yep.
Okay? And you'll surrender your soul. Whoever controls your soul controls you. If we give it to God, he'll do something with you. He's got better plans for you than you do yourself. We've all chased money at times. We've all chased one thing or another. But I'm telling you, you know, it's better to let him have his way than for you to get yours. And it starts with the surrendering your mind to this. Don't read it so fast. Study it. Prepare, when you get a good truth, get it to the place, prepare to share, to where you can share it with somebody. Because then you know you've read it, studied it, and it's made an impact on your heart, and it's locked and loaded. When Satan came at Jesus, he said, "Behold, it is written." He spit premeditated truths at him.